Literacy means access to employment options, to healthcare, to navigating daily life. When you learn to read, the world opens up to you.
Welcome to Cattlecast with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dimstra.
October is Dyslexia Awareness Month. At the Capital Area District Libraries, we use the month to raise awareness that 1 in 5 students have dyslexia. CATL is also working to build collections and services for students with dyslexia. One nonprofit that creates awareness of reading issues like dyslexia and works with libraries to provide education, support, and help with access to resources that help all kids learn to read, especially dyslexic and struggling readers, is Teach My Kid to Read. Joining us today is Marion Waldman, Executive Director of Teach My Kid to Read. Marion, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Scott.
To start, could you tell us about the mission of Teach My Kid to Read?
Sure. Our mission is to provide librarians, parents, and educators with education and access to tools that help all kids learn to read, especially kids with dyslexia. And we believe that libraries and communities offer equitable access to resources. And a lot of the resources that really help all kids learn to read, but that kids with dyslexia really must use to learn to read, are harder to access. Libraries may not necessarily be familiar with them or stock them or carry them. And that's both school and public libraries. So we're really on a mission to, you know, create awareness of just all the resources that help kids learn to read and just help with that access by working with libraries and communities, because we do some of our own outreach as well.
And in a recent webinar with Teach My Kid to Read, I was moved by some of your slides because I think they show the impact and also just the need that is out there. And there were two of them in particular. One said, literacy means access. And the other said, literacy is another way for saying opportunity. So what do those mean to you? And why is building literacy for all children so important?
Well, I mean, literacy really affects everything. And actually, those visuals you're talking about, they're two of our 6 visuals that we currently have to create awareness for Dyslexia Awareness Month. We're going to be using them as signs for some of our literacy walks and putting them on lawns. But to specifically answer your question, literacy means access to employment options, to healthcare, to navigating daily life, and for adults, for tools to support your children economically and academically. And the other side of the coin, I mean, literacy really is another way of saying opportunity. When you learn to read, the world opens up to you. And for people who, for kids that struggle and adults that never get those literacy skills, it's a very small world. And there's a lot of just very dire trajectories that you start to go down when you just don't have access to the options that many of us do. And the disparities too are a lot. They hit our kids with dyslexia. The kids with dyslexia are often referred to as the canary in the coal mine, because they pay the steepest price for illiteracy. And, you know, as well as kids from disadvantaged backgrounds that have less access to books and to content, that often get misdiagnosed in school. Sometimes they get misclassified in special education, or they never get identified at all. So, there's just a number of complex issues. And, you know, the best thing that we can all do is help as many children early when it counts the most and learn as much as we can about ways that help all kids learn to read. Because the way that kids with reading issues like dyslexia learn to read is the way that all kids learn to read. Obviously, some kids might need, kids that really struggle are going to need some intervention, or certainly going to need more practice with decodable books that we'll discuss in a we'll discuss in a moment. Just providing, literacy really is the portal into opportunity.
I agree. And I think about my own daughter who's dyslexic. And when you were saying that, I actually thought of her because she struggled as a reader. And as she has gone through tutoring and using tools like decodable books, you can see her confidence in all of her subjects kind of be lifted from that as well, too. And in your previous answer, you talked about decodable books. So could you explain what they are and why they're important for struggling readers?
Yeah, I mean, decodable books provide the practice for the phonics skills that children learn at school. And decodable books enable children to apply what they have learned. And being able to apply these skills and get practice reading them is actually the most important task in becoming a skilled reader. There's been a lot of research studies about the amount of time that even teachers spend on that application of skill has an effect on skilled reading. And the way a lot of our kids are taught to read, they don't necessarily get that practice. A lot of the books are based on patterns or guessing, and a lot of kids are able to memorize and they never really learn to decode. And then when they get into third or fourth grade, suddenly you realize that they're not reading. So decodable books are really important so that all kids can become fluent. And they're based on a systematic, explicit, and cumulative approach to teaching, starting with very simple, complex phonics skills, and then getting into more intermediate and then advanced skills. And these books just go along and they connect the text to that practice. It builds the confidence. Kids get very excited. And it's a very wide, it's a growing and wide genre of books. There's often certain programs will just have passages and stories that go along with the skills that some teachers that schools may use. And there's decodable books that are specific to certain phonics skills, and especially for older kids, a lot of those decodable books are also for pleasure. They're books that kids can just go to the library and read, and there's decodable books for older children with lots of engaging topics. So it's, again, just giving everyone the opportunity to come to the library and be able to check out a book that they can read.
In my introduction, I shared the statistics about 1 in 5 students having dyslexia. And as a library system, we're usually the kind of first place that parents go to for literacy building and learning. And I'm shocked that more public libraries don't focus on students with dyslexia because, again, they make up 20% of the student body. And that's how I found Teach My Kid to Read, as I was looking at who could we partner with or who could help us develop a collection and services. And so I wanted to give you the chance to explain, what does Teach My Kid to Read do for libraries?
Well, it's an interesting question. And, it's kind of funny because we started out, we're a pretty new nonprofit, and my background is in educational publishing. And, I've always worked somewhat with libraries, but I love libraries. Libraries are like a lot of us, just that special, they've always been that special place. There's still something, I know it sounds corny, but there's still something magical about walking into
a library. There's nothing corny about that. There is.
Okay. I mean, when I travel, I sometimes go to the library to have that space. But when we started out as a nonprofit, one of the things that we did was we partnered with about 50 libraries in New York. And we were at that point just asking a question about, we always wondered, like, how come libraries weren't able to be a better resource for families of really struggling readers, I suppose early too, because it's helpful to obviously have those skills then. But We just wondered, you know, why libraries that are so focused on literacy and reading and access to all just were so unfamiliar with our world. And so many of them didn't carry decodable books. And so at that point, we really just were asking some questions and then partnering with libraries to create awareness for Dyslexia Awareness Month and feature some decodable books. And we discovered that the majority of librarians really wanted to help. They just were unfamiliar with these books. And, you know, over time, then the pandemic hit and we kind of evolved and, you know, fast forward a couple of years, we've grown a bit as an organization and we have a pretty robust library committee. And I work, as you experienced, very, very closely with our library chair. And we uncovered in the process of trying to help libraries learn about decodable books, learn about struggling readers, how we read, that there were just a whole bunch of rabbit holes that and barriers that you start to go down. And how could we partner with libraries to really enable them to, you know, enable libraries to better serve or enhance their service. So we discovered first professional development that we needed to create a course that, you know, is still a work in progress. We've done a number of times, but that we provide some type of background about the literacy world today and how many kids in all communities all over the world, you know, well, let's say the country, although we do work with some libraries in other countries, but just what the data tells us about who's not learning to read, the inequities, and what reading instruction looks like, what we've learned from science, and then, you know, how we could help, how library programming can possibly support skilled reading, even with story time or just access to high-low books and audio books. And then we provide information about decodables, how they fit in the world also with leveled readers and all of the other, you know, the other books that are out there. And then we usually have a librarian we've partnered with talk a little bit about their experience creating collections or starting to move into this world because it's a process. So that's really, that's a long answer to our first, to PD and to professional development. So we definitely offer that piece and we're growing that piece. We offer help creating collections, choosing the books. We help with the ordering because we discovered that there's a barrier that a lot of the distributors don't carry the books and they're not necessarily library friendly. So, you know, that's an area that we still on a day in and day out basis uncover different ways to, you know, maybe make it easier for a librarian to create records, to put a sticker to, we've created spine stickers. We're always trying different bins and shelving. So we have kind of a technical piece we provide support with in creating these hubs. What's your budget? Is it very small? And with libraries that are in high needs communities, sometimes with restricted donations, we're allowed, we have the option to also help libraries with get started on a collection as well due to the generosity of different donors or sponsors. And then finally, my favorite part is really the outreach and the marketing piece. And that's a new area that we're developing as PD, but it's something that we already partner with libraries on. And that's explaining how these books work to parents, providing parents with information about literacy for early readers, providing information and options for parents of struggling readers, and helping librarians be connectors for more families, you know, through literacy events or just through the information for patrons. And then we have a free membership program for librarians, which is like a portal for us really of our materials. So that's how we work with libraries.
You talked a little bit about parents. What advice do you have for parents who are working with their child who's struggling with reading?
Well, you know, I think certainly learn as much as you can. I'm going to say, you know, go to our website, has a lot of resources. We have information about how we learn to read. We have, you know, different organizations, different programs. We have lists of decodable books. You know, I have, and, you know, I'll say subjectively, if I, you know, people often say, what would you have done differently, you know, as a parent, even though I was in publishing and education, I knew nothing. I was very new to this world. And, you know, I just took it for granted that once my daughter, once the school realized that there were issues, that it would be taken care of. I didn't pay close attention. I just presumed that, you know, I had full faith in education, that they would be able to teach her to read. And that's something, you know, to you really have to take matters into your, as you probably, you know, into your own hands and learn what you can. But there are, you know, there's definitely there's books that you can work with your kids yourself. I'm a big fan of the IC SAM books, Beginning Reading Instruction. We have the free eBooks on our website. And we were actually working directly with the creator of that series. He passed away about a year ago. And in fact, Saturday, we do a walk to commemorate him and to raise money so we can continue printing his books. But the BRI, also known as the IC SAM series, are very, very easy for parents to work with their kids if they're struggling. But there's, I mean, there, if you go to our website too, I want you to understand the different components that lead to skilled reading and some of the skills that you as a parent should know, blending and segmenting, and also making sure that spelling and writing aren't left out when your child starts getting the help they need. That's what I wish I knew, because we were so focused on reading that we were less concerned about spelling, being cognizant of spelling and writing. And that there, you know, besides the decodable books, there are homeschool programs. Again, these are on our websites, and there's other organizations you can certainly that you'll see on our website under resources, but there's lots of directions you can go. I mean, so many of the public, and there's video, we have videos on our website that are also, excuse me, on our YouTube channel that can be very helpful for parents. And most of those videos are created by the decodable book publishers.
And we always like to end with a library type question. So do you have a recommendation for our listeners of a title that you've, this could be a title for your work, but it could also be just one that you use to relax. And so a title that you've read, watched, or listened to that you would recommend to someone.
Well, when I saw that, you know, I guess I have two answers. One, it's true, just to relax. Sometimes I read books that are a little bit different than literacy, because all day long I'm trying to learn everything I can about literacy. And I read so many articles. The book that has affected me the most that I've read recently is Richard Powers, The Overstory. Mm-hmm. It was one of the few books that when I first started reading it, I actually thought it was a few short stories. I thought, am I missing something? But as soon as I finished it, I started reading it again, because there was so much information, and I wanted to, I just wanted to be able to get all those details that I might've missed on the first round. So for me, that really affected me, just the concept of the trees as the theme all the way through. And
that was a surprising book for me. I mean, I read it as well too, and I had the same reaction. I thought I was just reading a collection of short stories, and the way that they all connected together as well, it was amazing. That's a great recommendation.
Well, I'm glad that you read it too, but it's probably, there's a lot of wonderful books I've read, but that one really has stuck with me, and I'll probably read it a third time. And then I guess I do have to make it, it's not a pitch, but for the literacy space, one of our former literacy specialists wrote a series of books. They're called If Only I Would Have Known series. And they're three little books. You can get them, the three in one, and they're what I wish the pediatrician, preschool teacher, and librarian would have told me about language literacy and dyslexia. And these books are really nice because they're written in such an easy way in a play format. And if you just want to get your arms around you know, this, all, everything that you've been hearing about maybe the science of reading or how we learn to read or what I should be asking. It's a really nice way that you don't have to spend 6 hours in a really dense book. You can get everything you need in a quick read and refer to it. So I'm a big fan of those books.
Well, Marian, thank you so much for joining us today and for all the work that you do for students who are dyslexic and also struggling with reading as well, too. What I've found about your organization is you're truly doing some great work and in a field where parents are looking for answers and students are looking for help as well.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here. I appreciate the opportunity and I hope that everybody creates awareness in October.
And for more information about Teach My Kid to Read, you can go to their website. It's teachmykidtoread.org. That's all one word, .org. And we'll have a link to it in the episode notes as well, too. As always, thank you so much for listening to CattleCast.
Don't miss another great interview. Subscribe to the CattleCast podcast and share it with a friend.
Good news, episodes of the CattleCast podcast are now available on the WILX app and WILX.com. Enjoy interviews with newsmakers from across the state and nation. Plus, get expert advice on what to read next. Another great service from Capital Area District Libraries.